Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashtyatya Deshatarine. Trinadda Pisunichena Tarod Iva Sahishnuna, Amani na mana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadad, Hara Srivas, Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Varaha Lila, from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Maitreya said, the demigods, inhabitants of the higher planets, were freed from all fear upon hearing the cause of the darkness explained by Lord Brahma, who was born from Lord Vishnu. Thus they all returned to their respective planets. The virtuous lady Diti had been very apprehensive of the trouble to the gods from the children in her womb, and her husband predicted the same. She brought forth twin sons after a full 100 years of pregnancy. On the birth of the two demons, there were many natural disturbances, all very fearful and wonderful, in the heavenly planets, the earthly planets, and in between them. There were earthquakes along the mountains on the earth, and it appeared that there was fire everywhere. Many inauspicious planets like Saturn appeared, along with comets, meteors, and thunderbolts. There blew winds which were most uninviting to the touch, hissing again and again, uprooting gigantic trees. They had storms for their armies and clouds of dust as their ensigns. The luminaries in the heavens were screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed as though laughing. Darkness reigned everywhere and nothing could be seen. The ocean with its high waves wailed aloud as if stricken with sorrow, and there was a commotion among the creatures inhabiting the ocean. The rakes and livers were agitated, and lotuses. Misty halos appeared around the sun and moon during solar and lunar eclipses again and again. Claps of thunder were heard even without clouds, and sounds like those of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the villages, she-jackals yelled portentously, vomiting strong fire from their mouths, and jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. Raising their necks, dogs cried here and there, now in the manner of singing, and now of wailing. O Vidura, the asses ran hither and thither in herds, striking the earth with their hard hoofs and wildly braying. Frightened by the braying of the asses, birds flew streaking from their nests, while cattle in the cowsheds, as well as in the woods, past dung and urine. Cows, being terrified, yielded blood in place of milk. Clouds rained pus. The images of the gods in the temples shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. Ominous planets like Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another, making these and many other omens of evil times. Everyone but the four sage sons of Lord Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jai and Vijay and of their birth as Diti's sons, everyone marking all of this was seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. These two demons, who appeared in ancient times, soon began to exhibit uncommon bodily features. They had steel-like frames, which began to grow just like two great mountains. Their bodies became so tall that they seemed to kiss the sky. With the crests of their golden crowns, they blocked the view of all directions, and while walking shook the earth at every step. Their arms were adorned with brilliant bracelets, and they stood as if covering the sun with their waists, which were bound with excellent and beautiful girdles. Kashyapa, the Prajapati, creator of living entities, gave his twin sons their names. The one who was born first he named Hiranyaksha, and the one who was first conceived by Diti he named Hiranyakashipu. The elder child, Hiranyakashipu, was unafraid of death from anyone within the three worlds. This was because he had received a benediction from Lord Brahma. He was proud and puffed up due to this benediction, and he was able to bring all three planetary systems under his control. His younger brother, Hiranyaksha, was always ready to satisfy his elder brother by his activities. Hiranyaksha took a club on his shoulder and traveled all over the universe with a fighting spirit just to satisfy his brother, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. He was adorned with a gigantic garland, and he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred upon him, had made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves for fear of Garuda. On not finding Indra and the other demigods, who had previously been intoxicated with power, the chief of the Daityas, seeing that they had all vanished before his might, roared loudly. After returning from the heavenly kingdom, the mighty demon, who was like an elephant in wrath, for the sake of sport, dived into the deep ocean, which was roaring terribly. On entering the ocean, the aquatic animals who formed the host of Varuna were stricken with fear and ran away. Thus, Hiranyaksha showed his splendor without even dealing a blow. Moving about in the ocean for many, many years, the mighty Hiranyaksha smote the gigantic wind-tossed waves again and again with his iron mace and reached Vibhavari, the capital of Varuna. Vibhavari is the home of Varuna, who is the lord of the aquatic creatures and guardian of the lower regions of the universe. This is where the demons generally reside. There, Hiranyakaksha fell at Varuna's feet like a low-born man, and to make fun of him, he said with a smile, "Give me battle, O Supreme Lord. You are the guardian of an entire sphere and ruler of wide fame. Having crushed the might of arrogant and conceited warriors, and having conquered all the Daityas and Danavas in the world, you once performed a Rajasuya sacrifice to the Lord. Thus mocked by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the worshipful Lord of the Waters waxed angry. But by dint of his reason, he managed to curb the anger that had sprung up within him. Thus he replied, "O dear one, we have now desisted from warfare, having grown too old for combat. Why, you are so skilled in war that I do not see anyone else but the ancient, most ancient Lord Vishnu who can give satisfaction in battle to you. Therefore, O chief of the Asuras, whom even heroes like you mention with praise, you should approach that Lord Vishnu. On reaching him, you will be rid of your pride at once and will lie down on the field of battle, surrounded by dogs, for eternal sleep. It is in order to exterminate wicked fellows like you and to show his grace to the virtuous that the Lord assumes his various incarnations, such as Varaha." Maitreya continued, "The proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. There he saw the all-powerful Personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the end of his tusks and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed and addressed the Lord, "Oh, an amphibious beast! O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it in my presence and not be hurt by me. You rascal, you have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. O fool, your power is only mystic. So today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you, when you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms. The demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice and devotional service will automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water as an elephant might emerge with his female companion when assailed by an alligator. The demon, who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising up from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, Hiranyaksha then said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." The Lord then placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on water. And while the enemy stood looking on, Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, extolled the Supreme Lord, and the other demigods rained flowers on him. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated all his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, expressed his terrible anger. The personality of Godhead said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle and are searching after a hunting dog like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatal and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word." Sri Maitreya then said, "The demon, being thus challenged by the personality of Godhead, became angry and agitated, trembling in anger like a challenged cobra. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang up upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. The personality of Godhead now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again, and began to repeatedly brandish it about. But then, with his own mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow. But since the demon was expert in fighting, O gentle Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon Haryaksha and the Lord, the personality of Godhead, struck each other with their huge maces, each enraged and seeking victory. There was a keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on their body. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod within the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of Godhead, who had appeared in the form of a boar. After arriving at the place of combat, Lord Brahma, leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon, who had attained such an unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Lord Brahma then addressed Narayan, who was assuming the form of a boar for the very first time. My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the Brahmins, the cows, and the innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon your worshiping your lotus feet. Why, he has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing all of them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. My dear Lord, there is no need to play with this serpentine demon, who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks, and who is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives, and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency, without a doubt. O Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. This auspicious period, known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, has already commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you, his death also ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the worlds in peace. Sri Maitreya then said, after hearing the words of Lord Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking fearlessly before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked quite splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity now to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord's mace fell to the ground, and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the personality of Godhead acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshana discus. As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands, and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Hiranyaksha, a vile son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and so they cried, "May victory attend you. Pray, dispatch this demon. Play no more with this Hiranyaksha." When the demon saw the personality of Godhead, who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with his Sudarshana discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. Haryaksha began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of Godhead as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You are slain! O saintly Vidura," while his enemy looked on, the Lord, in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. The Lord then said, "Take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me, O demon." Challenged in these words, Haryaksha aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor thus frustrated, the great demon Hiranyaksha felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. He now took a trident, which was rapacious and ravenous like a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, who was the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one might use penis for a malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmana. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of Godhead, however, tore it to pieces with his discus Sudarshana, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. Hiranyaksha was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest. and that chest which bore the mark of Sri Vatsa. Then Haryaksha went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon, O Vidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. The demon employed many conjuring tricks, however, against the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, people were filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner, as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, and they were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bone. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were being uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifice, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing all the magical forces displayed by the demon Hiranyaksha. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breast. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead Keshava. Full of rage, he tried to embrace him with his arms in order to crush him. But to his great amazement, Hiranyaksha found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, but Lord Adhokraja slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. Though struck indifferently by the conqueror of all, the Lord himself, Lord Varaha, the demon's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Ajah, Lord Brahma, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked Hiranyaksha lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such a blessed death? He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion, in mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, the crest jewel of Diti's sons, Hiranyaksha, has now cast off his mortal coil. These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their original positions. The demigods then address the Lord. All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you. And we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet. Sri Maitreya said, after thus killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. My dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of Godhead's coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon with unprecedented prowess, as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I have heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. Sri Suta Goswami continued, my dear Brahmins, Shata Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kausharava, Maitreya, and Vidura was very pleased. What to speak of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, whose chest is marked with Sri Vatsa? People may take transcendental pleasure even in hearing of the works and deeds of his devotees, whose fame is immortal. Why, the personality of God had delivered the king of the elephants, who was attacked by an alligator, and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who accompanied him were crying, and the Lord saved them from the impending danger. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the Personality of Godhead? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to Him for protection. Although the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate Him. O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmana. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the battlefield, It promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. Oh dear Shaunaka, one who listens to this at the last moment of one's life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yeah.